Mr. Leary, reel 16.
Was there anything different about coaling, Wolf and Arab?
Well, the coaling actually of the ship was the same, but it was some merchant in Stranraer had the contract for supplying the boat, as it was then, Wolf, with coal. And the coal used to be in coal wagons on a siding at the end of this here bit of a pier where the mail boat used to go. So we'd go there with the boat, and this coal then used to be, he had to deliver it onto the deck of the ship. And it used to be, great coal, good household coal. Better than what we used to get in the Arrow. And that was his job. But that was the only difference there was with coaling ship, that the sea fella had to deliver it onto the deck. And it really wasn't as dusty and mucky as in the Arab. But as regards stow coals, and I had the same job in the Wolf, operator watch keeping, and it was all right till we was out. We had to meet a patrol, I remember one time, right off the north coast of Ireland. It wasn't a patrol, it was a convoy of ships coming from America, and it was very rough. As a matter of fact, we was getting right up into, you might say, on top of a mountain one time, and the next time he was right down in the valley. And we got a right bashing. She got leaky plates, you know, the sides of the ship where the joints was, started leaking because she'd got twisted about so much. And she'd strained a keel, got a twist in it. And it was putting the engines out of shape and, of course, the steam piping. And we had to break off the patrol. And we went to Stranraer, and they made a notification in to the Admiralty, like, about it. And we got ordered into Glasgow, up the River Clyde. Oh, up the River Clyde we went sailing, into John Brown's yard. Well, we was put in dry dock there, and there they found the real damage, and they said that the two after boilers on the ship hadn't to be used at all. There was a big danger there. The tubes had all start leaking. And while we was there, the war was over. The funny thing. And we all went just in our old working clothes, dungaree trousers and old slack coat, and into the town, and we had a great kick up. Well, we stayed there in Dundee, and we got ordered then, after a couple of weeks or so, that we had to bring the Wolf down to Devonport Dockyard. But we hadn't got to use these after boilers. We could only use the two boilers. So up the River Clyde we come, and down the English coast, past the Isle of Man and right down. And when we got near St. Ives, we got a warning from the coast guards that it was very rough in the channel. So, of course, they made the usual signal, like, to headquarters, and they said we had to lay at St. Ives until we got further orders. So we lay at St. Ives there for several days, and then we got orders we could bring her up the channel to Devonport. And got to Devonport and paid off.
Mm-hmm. Just a few general questions I wanted to ask you. The first one is about the relations between the various branches of the lower deck. You yourself was a stoker, and I wondered whether you could give me any descriptions of what relations were like between the various branches of the lower deck. Were there some cases where they were good and others not so good? Anything to say about that?
Well, speaking from my own experience and the ships I was on, they all recognised anybody from a leading hand straight up to the skipper, really. they all recognized that they were superior to the lower ranks. As you got higher up, they always respected you for being higher up.
Yeah. No, what I really meant was there, for example, any feeling about some branches of the lower deck being rather superior to other branches? I mean, how did the stokers, for example, measure up as against the seamen?
There was always a bit of jealousy. Always a bit of jealousy between the seamen and the stokers. But it was really nothing. It was like child sort of stuff, you see.
Did it take any particular form, this jealousy? Any incidents you can...
No, but...
Give me as an example of it.
If the seamen... well, they really couldn't. But there was always that jealousy there somewhere, you know?
What about between, say, the stokers and other branches of the lower deck, like people who were on the gunners or the torpedo people or those people who were on communications?
Well, the torpedo people used to come in line with the seamen. They didn't. Stokers was the lower deck people. And anything on the deck, the upper deck, really come under the seamen control, such as gunnery, torpedo tubing and depth charges and all that business that came all under the seamen branch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, start this again. You say there was a certain amount of jealousy between the seamen and the stokers.
Yes, well, from my experience, there was always that bit of jealousy that the seaman thought he was superior to a stoker and the stoker thought he was superior to a seaman. But really, for instance, in the mess deck now, if there was somebody playing crib and there was only one pack of cards like there would be on the easier boats that I was on, the small boats, and somebody else wanted a game and... The seamen had finished playing their game at crib, maybe he had to go on watch. And they might shout over from the stokers' watch, "Oh, hey, I want them pack of cards next, it's time we had them," you know. And they'd, "Oh, go away, it's our turn, we've got them for tonight," you know, and all that. But hey, it was, you know, babyish sort of jealousy.
Any particular feelings about... other branches of...
There's one thing, as I would say when I was at the Dardanelles, I'm sorry I didn't fetch it in, that we had the backing of the French 75 field gun. Now, I don't know whether you've ever heard about this 75 field gun, but they did tremendous work there behind us. They used to witch up, it was mules, you know, and dash away with the gun right into another place. No camouflage over it.
One other thing about lower deck life. Were there many accidents caused by work or caused by anything else?
No, really. If you got a bit of a burn, you wouldn't bother about it, you see. If you got a bit of a burn off the furnace doors or anything like that. Of course, you know, when you was firing up your boiler, you see, you had to be careful because with the swing of the boat all the time, somebody holding you, you had to wait until the door of the furnace swung open that way so that it wouldn't come back so you could get your coal in, you see, before it swung back again, you see, to shut.
Did the kind of work you did as a stoker create any particular health hazards?
No.
No?
No.
I'd heard it said that there was a high degree of incidence of TB amongst stokers because of the conditions they had to work in. Did you come across any of that?
Well, I never come across any. Okay. But it must have been this coal dust, because I was telling you about the coal dust, as it used to get up your nostrils and your eyes and down your ears. And you see, it really got on your lungs, there's no doubt about that.
The next question is probably one that you can't answer because your experience was confined to small ships. But I wondered whether seamen on the whole preferred to serve on the big ships or the small ones.
Well, I think myself, personally, that they preferred to serve on a small ship, similar to what I was on, because there wasn't the discipline there like there was on a big ship. on a big ship, you know, you're just practically the same as when you're in barracks. That they have the master at arms, you know, and the discipline is more strict. Of course, in peacetime, it's worse than wartime.
Were there any other advantages of being on a small ship as opposed to a big one?
Sixpence a day extra on your pay.
Yeah.
And
were there some things...
This here going ashore, you was practically... You had the same privilege, you might say, on a small ship as what a petty officer would have been at going ashore and coming back, just putting your name in the book. On a big ship, you had to fall in there, same in the barracks. At a certain time, you had to be inspected. The officer of the watch went round, and if you wasn't properly dressed or your least thing out of place, you'd be pulled out for it. And they'd hold you back. You couldn't go ashore at that certain time. You'd either have to wait later on, or maybe you wouldn't get ashore at all that night. For a little thing like that.
Mm. Were there any advantages to be had from being on the bigger ships? I mean, things like canteens, for example.
Oh, yes, there would be there, because the big ships, you see, had a nappy of their own. As I found that when I was coming back from the Dardanelles, being recalled back to the Navy at Plymouth. There was a big naffy there, you see, and you could go and buy what you want. You see, that was a big advantage, that.
Was the naffy that you came across there sort of well-run and well-organised and provided food at reasonable prices?
On the ship?
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, you know, for anybody who'd been away 12 months, like as I'd been Dardanelles and whatnot, you didn't know the value of the things. You used to just go, you had money, and you just went and got what you wanted. But there was a bit of a fiddle there, because sometimes the people in charge of the mess on the big ships, I often did, it said, about them going and getting extra things, supposed to, and charged to the mess for their own personal... their own personal use. I did hear of that several times.
Did you find that there were strong feelings about this kind of thing very often?
Well, you see, it was only that experience I had is when I was taking passage.
Yeah. There was one thing I didn't ask you about when you were serving on Arab and on Wolf. That is the sort of washing and toilet facilities, what they were like.
Oh, there was non-existent.
Describe what was available.
There was a little toilet there, one for the seamen and one for the stokers, and it was just a toilet. But I don't remember. The only thing I remember is we used to have buckets and just wash down sort of thing and like that. On these boats, small boats, you mind you. Of course, they went out of existence just after that First World War.
In any of the ships you served on, did you find that the fact that you all were very much crowded up, all close together in the messes, created any particular kinds of difficulties or problems?
On the ships?
Yeah.
No, because, you see, these ships, and there was, you might say, so many for a crew, and they used to allow so much space for each individual man, you can say that. And if they hadn't got that certain amount of space for a man, well, there was less men to go on it, you see, so that they would get that space. But one time in the Wolf, the half of the crew, they got it with flu. And they couldn't do anything, and we had to keep on watch all the time until we'd got across with the mail boat and got back again and all like that.
With the very close quarters you had to live under, I was wondering particularly whether the sort of general lack of privacy became a little tiring.
In which way?
Well, the fact that you could never sort of go off and be on your own or have any moments of quiet or...
Oh, no. No, you see... You took it, there was a war on, you see. And that's how it was.